Here's another quick take episode of the Real Estate Law Podcast. Our guest, Case Knockenauer, recorded with us from a campground in Florida using Starlink. So he had some video issues when we were recording, but he is a fascinating guy. He took his family on the road. They were homeschooling for a while. They were living out of their vehicle. I believe it was like a Toyota Tacoma that they had like a massive camper on top of. I kind of buried the lead. He is a real estate investor where he's built a number of companies and he's able to work remotely as a result of doing that. So this episode kind of talks about that and how he was able to get that going. I just took a look at his Instagram as an update, and because I hadn't talked to Case in a while. And it looks like not only did they make it across the country, but they made it over to Europe. And they took a 15-day cruise on the way back from Europe because it was the same price as airfare. Those one-way cruises are fantastic. And he said they also had childcare on board. He looked very happy with his wife in the hot tub and at the pool while childcare was happening. We could attest to that. Another fascinating thing about Case is that he likes to convert old vehicles into just different things I guess they could live in. One of the images he has is of an airplane fuselage that I think he redid the inside of, and it looks like their most recent project is an ambulance. So they're kind of banging out the inside of the ambulance to give it more living space. He'll probably take that on the road with his family, do some more homeschooling, and run his real estate investing business remotely. So give a listen to this quick take. It's how Case was able to build his business, work from the road, and then have a look at his social media, which is linked up in this episode, and you too might get inspired to purchase an ambulance and redo the inside and take it on the road with your family.
Yeah, I built the infrastructure twice. The first time I did it very badly. So we hired agents and virtual assistants, and I was primarily the hub where people reported to me. And I realized that was when I built the brokerage. I realized it was a very poor business model. So I upgraded my business partner, now Tyler, to sort of an integrator role. So a visionary integrator and approaching the business from a two-headed beast style where we realize we each have strengths and weaknesses. And his as the integrator, we've really realized that if I can do a very grade B process, he can fix it. And so we always say I sort of blaze the path and he fixes what I break. And so that's been a big change, is bringing in a partner in the business first. And the second is being okay if people do things differently. So our team at this point is myself, my business partner as the integrator. Our operations team is a transaction coordinator. I'm currently sitting in the seat of a like flip manager, which is a pretty part-time role, maybe 5 hours a week. So I manage our six contracting crews. And then we have a sales team, which consists of my integrator as sort of like the head of sales, a salesman that's local. And then we have two virtual assistants that run our text and mostly response. So we do inbound and referral marketing. So probably 50 to 60% of our business comes from real estate agents that call us and say, hey, I got a house that's great for you. And so that's sort of what our team looks like. We also have one virtual assistant in the operations department, which largely does utility management. So we're operating somewhere between 15 and 25 flips at a time. And it's a full-time job to turn on and off electricity. So that's really what she sort of sits in at, what our team looks like. But in terms of like, how do you build that is a really good question. And I always have been thinking, I started backwards and it's like, what low-level position can we hire? But it's worked better to think top-down, like what can I get rid of to hand to the next report? So instead of saying I'm going to hire a virtual assistant for myself, it's been I want to give part of my job to one of my current employees. And what that means is they don't have time for it, so I need to hire them a virtual assistant. And that's been a much better perspective than I need to hire myself a virtual assistant. And because then you're creating another department. So that shift of perspective of, okay, I'm going to give Tyler half my job. So in order to do that, I need to hire him somebody. And we realized it couldn't have been a virtual assistant, so I need to hire him somebody local. But they need a virtual assistant. So it's funny, the backer's perspective of to save myself time means I need to hire my partner, a local person, so that they need a virtual assistant. So it's a very backwards mentality of saving time means I hire somebody else for somebody way, way down the line. And that's been a big, big perspective change I've sort of had to shift over the last 3 years.
You know, thinking back, 2016 is when you said you started as a real estate agent. You know, that's only 7 years ago. And now you're at the point that you have this company
that sustains itself with your involvement and a portfolio of properties that, you know, I'm sure generate cash and wealth for you guys to be able to hit the road and give your family the experience that you're giving them right now. Talk a little bit about how you found your business partner and that pivot that you made when you realized that being an agent and then being a team lead were not the direction that you wanted to take things, you know, for the subsequent years after you made that decision.
Yeah, I found my business partner accidentally. I hired him as a photographer for an event, and I hired him as an agent. And then I've always sort of like had that perspective of who, not how. And I realized that Tyler was an excellent who, and was really, I was sitting in his seat. And so I think we follow the EOS model, which is the same author as that wrote Traction, that wrote Rocket Fuel. So that's really where we got the method of integrator and visionary. And I realized the idea of like, do you have the right people in the right seats? And so that was it's been a 2 or a 3 year transition into creating seats. So I mentioned, like, I am currently the flip manager. At some point, I'd like to hire that out. I'm also our current CFO, which is something I'd like to hire out. And so realizing, like, you know, who's in the right spot and who's in the wrong spot, or is the right person but in the wrong seat, and transitioning people so that they're in the right place at the right time is really important. Previously, I'd made, I think, very good hires at very bad times. So I hired a salesperson when I absolutely should not have. I should have hired a, you know, an integrator or a CFO or something like that. But we hired, you know, my last salesperson we just hired, Matt, is doing a fantastic job. But the person I hired 5 years ago, I never should have done. Good guy, great salesperson, but at the wrong time. Yeah, so I'm not sure if that answered your question. I did a big circle there.
Yeah, we're fascinated, you know, for you to tell our audience, you know, how you've been able to put together the team that you have, you know, because again, thinking back 7 years ago, I'm sure we all could think back to where we were in our lives 7 years ago, and you've built all this in that span of time, you know, and a lot of people are kind of still either spinning their wheels, or they're going a little more slowly, or they're going at the pace that, you know, that they want to be going at. But, you know, there is the ability to go quickly if you're finding the right team members, putting them in the right seats and kind of going forward the right way.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, you put together this large team and everything. And I guess I want to ask a question that maybe would benefit almost any business right now where people are doing a lot more work from home and hybrid working. How do you maintain kind of group cohesiveness and a culture within your companies with people working together if you're not actually seeing each other face to face and building a relationship the old fashioned way?
That's a great question. I think the first thing is consistent communication. You know, if you're not going to see people, it's important to communicate. So we have a Google Chats. So we say, you know, good morning every day. We have a weekly, every week, unless you've got like an immediate death in your family or you're on vacation, you're at our weekly meeting. And so we do that. We have good measurables that we're keeping each other accountable for. You know, our goal is top-down accountability. So if I'm not making the phone calls, how on earth can I expect my salesperson to make the same phone calls or, you know, meet my goals if he can't meet his goals. And I think the last person is, and this has been, again, another slow transition, is the realization that we need to keep team values. So we have 4 values, which I'm praying I can remember right now because we just changed them very slightly. So we have an acronym, FAST. And so the first is full of grace. So we understand people make mistakes. The second is adaptable. So we're a small team, and larger teams, maybe this isn't relevant, but for us, we need to be adaptable. So someone needs to be able to transition their job and, you know, move from listing houses to flipping houses. The next is S, and that is self-directed and accountable. And that's the change we made, is adding accountable into self-directed. So somebody that, you know, we can hand a project to and is going to take it from start to finish, and we know that can do it themselves. And the last is teachable. And so those are what we've defined. And the reason we came up with those values is we looked at the people that were on our team and the people that we wanted on our team. And we said, you know, what are, if in 3 or 5 years,
we're going to like take over our market and be the team we wanted to do, what are those values in our team and what are the values that we want?
So Case, where is your portfolio of properties? Is it throughout Michigan or concentrated in some cities, or are you working in multiple markets across the country?
Yeah, we own 104 units, primarily small multi. We own two apartment complexes of 23 and 24 units, one on the east side of Michigan, one on the west side, and the rest are primarily single family and small multi on the west side of Michigan. And then I'm a fractional owner of two triple net industrial properties in Chicago and also West Michigan. My goal is to sort of transition into larger industrial over the next 3 to 4 or 5 years. So primarily the Midwest at this point.
Is that transition part of the current company that you have, or are you launching a new company if you're going to transition into some more industrial real estate?
Great question. It's an argument my integrator and I have constantly of where do we focus. And I think it's probably going to start with the department. So we'll probably add a sales department that is industrial, which is going to be myself for a while and maybe a broker to identify larger industrial properties. And I see us probably doing both for a while and maybe in 5-6 years, shutting down the flip business as acquisitions become more lucrative. It's also sort of market dependent. And I think where we thrive as a team is sitting in front of the money, I think is a good way of putting it. And I can predict a year from now. I have a lot of trouble knowing what the market's going to look like in 3, 4, 5 years. And so I think that is it another company is a hard question to answer today, but I'd say it's either another company or another department. I'd say 2 to 3 years, we probably won't be shutting down the flip team.
All right. There's another quick take with the Real Estate Law Podcast. For the full episode, go to YouTube or Spotify or iTunes or wherever you heard or listened to that quick take. We also have all of our episodes posted at realestatelawpodcast.com. So on behalf of Rory Gill, I'm Jason Muth, one of your hosts, and we thank you for listening.